This morning's scripture reading will be found in Exodus chapter 33, verses 17 through 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
Thank you, Cody. Can you imagine the nerve it took for Moses to ask that, to see the glory of God? Have you ever had the opportunity to see something that made you shake, that made you nervous, because it was something you knew you couldn't control, something that was too big for you? And I really don't know of anything that we can even compare to what this would feel like. Perhaps if we were in an area where earthquakes were at and we felt the ground shake underneath us, we could feel a nervous feeling, perhaps similar to what Moses did as he was in the presence of God. My topic today is, I see God, but where do I see God? We read this story about Moses and the fact that God tells him, I can't let you see me face to face. So if we want to be Christians and worship the God, the creator of our earth, we have to find ways that we are allowed to see God. I want to see God. I'm sure you would like to see God. Moses wanted to see God. What does God look like? That's open to interpretation. How do we know? How do we know who we are worshiping? And in man's mind, if I could only see him, it would be so much easier for me to worship him. It'd be so much easier to serve someone that I can see. But our flesh and blood on earth we've been told that we will not be allowed to look directly upon God until we die. Now, if you want to turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 7, we have the story of Stephen. And as he had been blessed with one of the gifts, an ability to speak fluently, he had presented himself and presented his case before the Jews. And when he was too blunt with them and too truthful with them, we find in the end of chapter 7 the end results. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So Stephen was at least in some way allowed to see a vision, if not truly looking into heaven as he had his final moments here on earth. But the Jews could not tolerate him giving his message that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he, in his final moments, believed that he was able to see God. Now, what kind of complications would it make if we was to see God face to face? When you turn to Hebrews 11th chapter, we have two verses there that tell us what it takes to please God. Verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now what is faith? You go back to verse 1, and it tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we were to see God face to face, it would no longer require faith to believe that there was a God, because you had actually seen him factually. And so it would be no longer faith that we had. And without faith, we cannot please him. In John, the 20th chapter, we have an example of a person that didn't want to just use faith. He wanted to see for himself, as we oftentimes do, the human factor. In John, the 20th chapter, we're going to start with verse 25, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time, when Jesus came to the door, and the doors being shut, Jesus made presence in the room, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." How embarrassing that had to be for Thomas to have the Lord come back and know what you had said, and said, "Well, since you have this problem, go ahead and thrust your fist into my side so you won't doubt anymore." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." And so Thomas finds himself in the position of maybe our own selves in wishing to see God, and that God would say, "Well, here's what you wanted. Now do you believe?" And how embarrassed we would be if God confronted us with the portion of doubt that we have of, "I wish I could see who I'm worshiping." And how embarrassed Thomas was to have his Savior confront him about those same kind of feelings. So how do I see God? Is there evidence he exists? Let's turn to Romans, the first chapter, and see what it has to say about that. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 18 through 22. Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Now verse 20 is the key here I want you to pay attention to. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, verse 20 tells us that God's creation itself, if you're paying attention, is full of the proofs necessary to show there has to be a superior being that made these things interact with each other the way that they do, the way the food chain works and continuously recreates life. And to study any field of science, it's just, I find impossible to believe that there isn't something beyond that makes all these things function the way that they do. Verse 20 says that people are without excuse if they are paying attention to nature at all to believe that this can just happen on its own. Are we given the answers to all the questions we have in life at this point in our life? No. As if all of our questions were answered, it wouldn't require faith. And we know, as we said earlier, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But our generation has more scientific answers than our parents' generation or our grandparents. But you know, in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter and verse 29, and Proverbs, the 25th chapter and verse 2, these two verses tell us that it is God's choice what he reveals to us, and what stays secret are the secrets of God. So as generations pass, God reveals a little bit more, but we'll never have all the answers. Now, do we know everything that Christ said and done and preached while he was here? Do we know all the miracles that he done? No. No, we don't. But in John chapter 20, here's what we were told about that. John 20, verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So the Lord has placed enough proofs that we should be able to believe. We don't have to know every single miracle that he performed and every single word that he preached. But we have been given enough that we should be convinced of what the truth is. First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, there is a statement made about in our service and being a Christian, that we know in part, we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. And that is the way our knowledge basis is all through life. It is only going to have part of our answers. Part of our questions will be satisfied. And so that's where faith fills in the rest. But Romans 1 verse 20 tells us that the creation bears witness to the Creator. So where do you see God? If I gave everybody an opportunity to say something they see in their everyday life, where do you see God? It would be interesting to hear the answers. One of the most common things that man lets his attitude be affected by is whether it's cloudy, rainy day or whether the sun is out. We enjoy having the sun shine down on us. And many people are excited when they get to see the sunrise or the sunset and the beauties that are there. And we know generations in the past have even become worshipers of the moon, worshipers of the sun, out of ignorance, not really realizing the true creator they should be remembering. Now, in Acts, the 14th chapter, Paul tells us something else that we need to be thankful of that is a testament to God. One of the natural elements that we experience and have experienced a lot of this year. Acts 14, verses 11 through 18. Paul had an experience with Barnabas of those that believed that they were gods. And when people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that if ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, but nevertheless he left not himself without witness." Verse 17. "And that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice to them." So Paul, in this speech to these people, reminded them of the proofs of nature that remind us daily of how life is renewed through the rains that the Lord sends us and the replenishing of the earth. Many of us would like to go to the mountaintop and be able to have a view of how vast the creation is. We have all probably heard of the astronauts, as they are quoted when they come back from the shuttle, how breathtaking it is to be able to see the world from that point of view. And if you've ever been in a cave or in a mine deep down inside the earth, you may have found yourself praying to God before you got out that you would be able to get out, because you get a queasy feeling when you're deep down under of insecurity and how nice it is to have the sun shining on your head. But you know, we can think of all the big things, all the giant mountains that the Lord has created. But the things that are probably the biggest threat to us in life are the littlest things in life. The microorganisms that live in this same world that we do reproduce, and some of them are good for us and some of them aren't. And it is more likely in the course of your life that one of those little things could present your demise, that has to be looked at under a microscope, than any of the giant things that are in our world. But we have thousands, if not millions, of life forms on this planet. And they all bear testament as they interact with each other that there has to be a God. They all have different strengths, different weaknesses, and different tolerances. And if you look at the energy forms in this world, and as the storms are created by unequal heating of different parts of the Earth's atmosphere, and the tornadoes that are produced, the waves that are sent on the oceans, the volcanoes that blow, and the earthquakes that shake. And you look at the forms of energy that are harnessed in the solar and the wind, the geothermal, the capturing of water and turning of turbines, the fossil fuels, the lightning. And how many of you know how the moon is a source of fuel, source of energy? Have any of you been on the beach when the tide goes in and out? They are devising methods to try and harness the force of the water as it comes in and out and transfer that into electrical energy. And so even the moon is a source of energy. So who is your neighbor? I wake up every day believing I live next to God. Each day he sends me reminders in the creation that I live in, similar to what the verse in the blue book of God can, I think it's number 13, how he takes a small acorn and makes it into a big oak tree, the variety of birds that come to my wife's bird feeders, the bullfrogs serenading us all spring long, the variety of the trees, the infinite number of animals that live in this creation, and being able to come home and having a dog happy to see you whether you've had a bad day or not. If you sit down and study any of the sciences, whether it be biology, astronomy, the physics, geology, if you're paying attention, you have to believe that it came from God. I love to see God in nature, but I really love to see God in people. When Dean Avenue had their meeting, Rodney had a bunch of boys over to stay that weekend, and a couple of them came up one day early. Rick Sparks' boy, Clint, and one of the Shrek twins was up. And we sat down for supper that Friday night, and I thought, well, who am I going to ask to say prayer? And so I said to the boys, I said, well, do you want to flip for it to see who says prayer? And they looked at each other and they said, no, let's play rock, paper, scissors. And it was the first time I'd ever had rock, paper, scissors played to see who'd be giving the prayer. And so they played that, and Rick's boy won. And then he looks over to the Shrek boy and he says, okay, you say the prayer. And he says, no. He says, we weren't playing to see who was going to have to say the prayer. We was playing to see who got to say the prayer. You won. You get to say the prayer. So it was, and how do you respond to that? So it was a fun moment. And it was a moment that I seen God present in these two boys. And if you've been paying attention over the last 2 years, hopefully you've been able to see effects that Rodney and Elena and Mark Herman have had, and the others, in trying to establish a teen study to get our youth rooted in having close relationships within the church, and how that benefits you as you get older. And as I've seen those efforts being put forth, and have they've developed and involved a lot of you hosting those in your home, I hope that you also were able to see God through those individuals' efforts. You know, we can like different things and still like each other. We can need different things and still help each other. And today, you may need a word of encouragement, and maybe I need a word of correction. And tomorrow, I may need to stop and smell the flowers, and you may need help finding a job. You like a fast song, but there are those of in our group that are up in years that may need a slower paced song in order to feel like they can sing along and be a part of the service. So my needs may not always be your needs. And we need to be considerate of each other for those petty things, that we make sure that we don't let petty things destroy our way that people see us that day, whether they see God in us or whether they see selfishness within us. And you can go on and making those lists of how we can present God in our lives. And when I look at the evangelists and the sacrifice they have to make in their travels as their families are trying to grow, I see God in the sacrifices that they've made, and their wives and their children. And when I look at our elders and their wives, I see God in those people's lives, because they've taken on responsibilities, which is oftentimes a thankless job on earth. When you're dealing with other people's problems, dealing with scheduling, trying to make things work. And on the physical side of the church, I see a man that has spent more than 30 years being a deacon, that has done more than anyone here for the physical needs of this church, and what Larry Brady has done to help try and take care of those needs of the church. And when I look around and I see Audrey Brady, I don't know of anybody that hasn't been influenced by Audrey. This church is celebrating its 50 years this year. Audrey's been here for all 50 years. I remember having her as a teacher when I first started attending here. And you know, it makes me think about being tempted to put a box up in the back and to put a sign on that and said, I saw God today. And you can make a note. You don't have to sign it if you don't want to. But tell what you've seen through somebody else's actions, or whether it was in nature itself, of how you saw God today. And those could be notes that we could share and probably have a lot of inspiration from, if you would share those moments with us. In the last few months, I saw God when Kelly and Allison decided to have a weekly Bible study. My life has been enough upside down. I still haven't made it to one, and I'd like to apologize to them for that. But I love the fact of what you're doing. I see God in that effort. And when I look back about what has happened to people in this church in the last few years, I see Jason and Teresa Brady's desire to get back home, back to their physical family and their church family, and how difficult it was for them to make that transition. Jason spent a couple years driving back to Chicago every day, every week, to continue to go back to his job while they were trying to sell their house, and how that stretched that family, caused difficulties, but it was the goal that they wanted to achieve. Jason left a secure job as an air traffic controller, left a new house in Chicago to deal with the stresses of being self-employed and dependent on others to do their jobs right if your business was going to work. And as I look around our congregation, I hope that it doesn't embarrass people to point out things, how you've been an encouragement to others. But through my lifetime, I've could not list the things that I know that Steve Thompson's family has gone through that have been an encouragement to others through their endurance and trying to maintain course in difficult waters. Steve was raised by his grandmother, and then Steve took care of his grandmother in her last years. When we get up each day, what do we let people see? Do we let them see the sadness that's in our lives? We all have it. Or do we let them see God? You know, our country is in trouble. It's in serious trouble financially, and even more so morally. And in the coming years, we're going to need each other more than ever to be able to look at our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and see God in something that you do, in a decision you make, in the way that you live your life. And I need to let others see God in me. I remember the day that I saw God in Tom Brady's life when he got up here and read a prepared statement apologizing for the mistakes that he had made in his life. And that is a day that I won't ever forget, how moving that was and how you let us see God in your choice of making that decision. I was excited when I saw God touch the McClurg family when Vernon made a change in his life and became a regular member in our congregation And earlier, when Marty and Lisa were married, I remember when Marty started coming to church, he came to church to observe and find out what it was all about, but just wanted to stay in the background. And can you imagine the void in our congregation if Marty had not found God and how he has touched every one of our lives in the way that he is so critical to sharing our spirituality together. I think about my daughter-in-law, Teresa, sharing God with a fellow worker that sits right behind her. She was brave enough to share her feelings about God with Randy Spinney. And now Randy is here. You saw God through those people that day. I saw God the day someone canceled their wedding day until they were sure that Christ would be first in their life, in their marriage. These are things I feel our young people need to hear, that people made these kind of choices because they loved the Lord. And as I said earlier, it's not my intent to embarrass or draw unwanted attention to anyone, but examples that you can relate to are the best ones to help ground you. And we oftentimes don't realize whether we've made a good choice or a bad choice. It doesn't just affect your life. It affects all of us. This congregation has been here 50 years this year. And I'd like to remind you not to forget those whose race is over, who helped start this church, who helped maintain this church through the past 50 years. They built this bridge not for their own good, but for you. They had already passed over the difficult parts of their life when they helped get this church established. They built this bridge for you. I remember days when I saw God through B. Warren. I remember days when I saw God drive up in an old Comet. It was not God himself, but I remember Mary Sutter driving that old white Comet when she really had trouble getting around. She wasn't going to miss church. She was a witness by her attendance. If nothing else, a soft-spoken woman. I remember seeing God when Dale Brady would get up here, and he was really uncomfortable being up here, but he thought he needed to grow as a Christian and get to that point where he could be up here and share. And I always remember him and Bill Eben both as I was growing up, and neither one felt real comfortable in public speaking in front of people, but they both did it anyway. And developed and helped share their desire to be pleasing to God with us. I was quite young when some of these original members were here, and my family was not here when this church was first established. But all of us have been here probably long enough to remember Gladys Turnquist, if you don't remember her husband, and the impact that Gladys had as she touched all of us. There are others that have not been gone that long. Thank you. See, I believe that God never wanted us to see him as he is. Not yet. I believe God only wants us to see him through others. So, as your day goes on today, and as it starts a new week tomorrow, will you share your sorrows of life, or will you share your God? If you need to share your sorrows of life, we would like to help you share your burden. Let us help. But when you're out among the world, make sure you're not afraid to share your God. Because we will see him face to face, but it will be on his time frame and not ours. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 13 and 14, warns us, reminds us, he will bring every secret thing to judgment. So, with that said, are you really ready to see God? I want to be ready. If I have offended you in my life, tell me so I can say I'm sorry. Let us help you be ready. Come up here if you want to be baptized. Be a part of seeing God in your daily life. And if you're already baptized and you've made a mistake, come up here when we sing our song to close our service. It's not that hard to say you're sorry. And it feels so good after you've done it. You will see God, and your knee will bow. And everyone's knee will bow. And you will call him Lord, whether it's with a smile or with weeping and gnashing of teeth. I see God. Shouldn't we all? We have a chance. Come before God right now. And whatever mess ups you've made, we've all got our own mess ups that we don't like to share. Now's the time to see God and say, I'm sorry. So we stand.